Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of the Beaver Dam. I am Tyler Avila, joined along with my new co-host, Trent Mass. Trent, buddy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a crazy week in sports. Before we jump into Beavers athletics, March Madness, dude. This thing has been insane. I saw a tweet earlier today from my buddy Colin Gregor, and he said upset after upset after upset. I mean, holy cow, you had UMCB beating the top overall seed, Virginia. Shockingly, the first time a 16 seed's ever beat the number one seed. Buffalo destroying most of America's team, Arizona, by 21. You had Loyola's, their Cinderella story, two game-winning shots at the buzzer. I was watching their game against Miami when they hit the three. Holy crap, that was insane. Marshall coming out of nowhere beating Wichita State. Syracuse winning. They were one of the first four games. They won the first four game. Then they had TCU next, beat them. And then they upset Michigan State, some people's team to win it all as well. You also had Nevada advancing over Cincinnati to the Sweet 16 on Sunday. And then Florida State upsetting Xavier as well. Two out of the four number one seeds went down. Also, you had Texas A&M coming out of nowhere and blowing North Carolina out of the water. My goodness.
Didn't they win by like 20?
Yeah, I think they did. I think Texas A&M like beat them by 20. This week, dude, has been insane. And I know a lot of my brackets, a lot of other people's brackets are busted already because I had Virginia winning it all. Who did you have winning it?
I had Gonzaga winning it all.
They're still alive. You still got hope. They have a tough task against Michigan this weekend. So, enough of March Madness. We're not here to talk about the entire world of sports. We're here to talk about Bluffton Athletics. We got track and field. This track and field team, dude, has been insanely good. Low-key good, I should say. They have a lot of great athletes, and you saw it from indoor track, especially with distance from cross-country to indoor track and outdoor track. You have softball, they're in a little bit of a slump. Their first 10 games in Florida with the baseball team, they traveled to Florida over spring break. Softball came back with not a very good record. So we'll talk about them. And then baseball, they had one of their greatest starts in recent memory. First 10 games, they went 8-2, came back red hot. And then they kind of slowed down. But before we get into that, we're going to take a short break. We got Live in the Moment by Portugal the Man.
Done. Listening to 96.1, The Wit.
All right, Trent. So, we're going to talk about track first. We normally leave them last, but we're going to switch things up. Track has been insanely good. Indoor track, they had a heck of a season. The distance runners had a great year in cross country. But they had their first outdoor meet over the weekend, and they traveled to Washington and Lee University down in Lexington, Virginia. What were some of the things that you saw from the men's track team, Trent?
Well, we got the freshman Omar Warlick, who placed 13th in the 100-meter dash with the time of 11.78 seconds. Junior Quincy Salcido placed 12th in the 200-meter dash with the time of 23.32 seconds. We had three guys place in the top 15 in the 10,000-meter run. We had Dakota Frost, who placed 5th, who actually broke the school record with the time of 32 minutes and 25.38 seconds. After him, we have Jonah Eckert, who placed 8th, and then senior Chris Lyons placed 13th.
Yeah, so off the bat, the first three races that Bluffton had, they ran really well. You had freshman Omar Warlick placing in the top 15, Quincy Salcido placing 12th in the 200, and then Dakota Frost has been balling out. So, I don't know how much you've been following track. Okay, so not a lot.
I know. I mean, Gabe.
Gabe Macon,
he's been killing it in the pole vault.
Yeah. But with Dakota, he coming in as a second-year runner, and Chris Lyons, who's was supposed to be the top guy for this cross-country program. This coming in as a senior, having a heck of a year last year, gets hit with a stress fracture. So he's out for his entire senior year of cross-country, and all of the weight was put on Dakota Frost, the sophomore. That's a lot of pressure as a sophomore, and he balled out, Trent. He had a heck of a year in cross-country. He broke some records, I do believe. And then that success continued into indoor track, and now it's continuing in outdoor track. I mean, with these guys, with track, especially the distance runners, it doesn't seem like they have any time off. Like with soccer, you guys have an off season. These guys don't. Like, they literally run every single day. They may have like 2 weeks off, maybe with no coaches or whatever. Yeah, but like they go from cross country and from the fall transition into indoor track, and then that transitions into outdoor track. Like, they don't have time to just rest, which is kind of a good thing and a bad thing. It keeps them in shape, keeps them at the top of their game, but also that could lead to a lot of injuries. But as of right now, no one's been plagued with injuries, knock on wood.
So senior Kyle Nezovich placed 10th in the 110-meter hurdles. Freshman Keenan Kennel placed 19th in the 400-meter dash with a time of 1 minute 3.5 seconds. Sophomore Connor Golick placed 8th in the 3,000-meter steeple race with a time of 10 minutes and 36 seconds. Bluffton's 4x1 team placed 6th with a time of 44.62 seconds. That team consisted of Warlick, Salcido, Nezovich, and Kennel. Those same four guys ran in the 4x4 and placed 10th with a time of 3 minutes and 32.9 seconds.
Yeah, so this 4x1 and 4x4 team that this track program has, they're really running well. Placing 6th with a time of 44.62 seconds, it's a really good starting point for the outdoor season.
It's like an 11-second split for each guy in 100.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. They have a lot of room of improvement throughout the year. And same with their 4x4 time of 3 minutes and 33 seconds. That's still not bad for each guy doing a lap, dead sprint around the track. They have time for improvement. And as we've seen throughout the year from cross country and indoor track, improvement is where they excel. A lot of these guys starting, especially with distance and then sprints, having indoor track as like their stepping stone for the season, they've really excelled of improving each week and setting new personal records or PRs.
Especially, like, I mean, it's their first meet they've had. Yeah. And obviously, you can see everybody's doing pretty well. I mean, the only place they can really go is up.
Yeah. As Michael Jordan said last year, the ceiling is the roof. All right, what happened in the field events, Trent?
In the field events, we had Kennel placed 12th in the high jump with a height of 5'10.5". We had freshman Gabe Macon, who won the pole vault with a height of 15'5". Nezovich placed 3rd, and sophomore Justin Kaufman placed 5th.
Yeah, the pole vault people are really doing well. Gabe, especially as a freshman, he's had a heck of a year. It's unbelievable.
Didn't he break the record in indoor track?
Yeah, I think he broke the record in indoor track. I think it was at the conference meet as well. So not only did he break the record, he broke the meet record. Yeah, that's a huge task, especially coming in as a freshman. That's completely insane, and my applause goes to Gabe Macon.
Freshman Jihad Shokley placed 14th in the long jump with a distance of 19'1".
Yeah, that's insane. Well, the thing is, these measurements might be off because I used a converter, because on the stat sheet, it had meters. Yeah, so if that's true, holy cow.
That's 4 of me almost. No, that probably is.
Yeah?
Jeez.
Yeah, that's insane.
I'm like in disbelief right now.
Do you want me to continue this? There's about a couple more.
Sophomore John Jones placed 14th in the shot put with a throw of 38'5". He also placed 20th in the discus with a throw of 106'11". Senior Eric Benji placed 6th in the hammer throw with a distance of 148'6". Benji also placed 17th in the javelin with a distance of 131'6".
Before we jump into the women's side of track and field, this song fits perfectly well with track. Broken by Lovely the Band. You are listening to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
I like that you're broken, broken like me. Maybe
96.1, The Wit.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Student-driven media since 1913. We are 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. Trent and I were just talking about how this track team has really impressed us and how they don't really get a lot of love. Like, most of the time when we're talking about sports, we're talking about, like, I guess the big four, maybe? I mean, football is going to be the big thing. Volleyball, who's been really good the last 5 years. I guess both basketball and then baseball and softball. Track, like, they don't really get a lot of love. And they've been really good. Ever since I've been to Bluffton, they've had really good athletes. I mean, Terrell Webb, she was a pole vaulter. She got, like, all conference, I do believe. Like, she broke a lot of records for the women's pole vault. Like, she was insanely good. Didn't really get a lot of love. I mean, with the Wit and the sports-wise, like, this is, like, our first year doing this. So, like, we didn't really dive headfirst into sports. We just wanted to get our name out there. So my job, I guess, would be to show love to the teams that don't get a lot of love because of football, volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball being like the top sports people really want to hear about. I mean, soccer's still there. Soccer's, you guys are
young.
Young, yes. I mean, the soccer program was not what it was before Cusack. Cusack has really helped improve the program.
Changing the culture.
I guess, I mean, he didn't have the first 2 years like he wanted to, but that's understanding coming in as a new coach and not having a lot of recruiting and all that. But I mean, like you said with track, the sky's the limit for you guys. So now to women's track and field. In the 100-meter dash, Katora Warlick placed fifth for Bluffton with a time of 13.36 seconds. She also placed fourth in the women's 200-meter dash with a time of 26.81 seconds. In the 400-meter dash, we had Sienna Hostetler, sophomore, placed 34th with a time of 1 minute and 14 seconds. On the distance side of things, in the 800, we had senior Alyssa Hockey placed 29th with a time of 2 minutes and 31 seconds. In the 1500 meter, we had sophomore Tammy Groff place 31st with a time of 5 minutes and 30 seconds. In the 5K, Alexis Cash Money Cash placed 5th for Bluffton with a time of 18 minutes and 31 seconds. Along with Dakota Trent, Alexis Cash has had a heck of a year breaking records. Setting records. I mean, those are technically the same thing, but she has balled out from cross country to indoor track and now outdoor track. Not only did Dakota Frost break the school record in the 10,000 meter run for the Beavers, junior Jenny Mattson also broke the record with her time of 38 minutes and 48 seconds, placing third for the Beavers. Michelle Kelsey, the junior for Bluffton, also placed 9th in the 10,000 meter run with a time of 50 minutes and 34.25 seconds. Freshman Sarah Hattinger placed 15th in the women's 100 meter hurdles with a time of 18.19 seconds. Sarah also placed 12th in the 400 meter hurdles with a time of 1 minute and 21 seconds. I think she's a double sport player, right? She plays volleyball
too, yeah? She's pretty good too. I think she was a starting hitter.
So Sarah, the freshman, having a heck of a year. Playing very good minutes in volleyball and also having a great indoor and now outdoor track season. In the women's 4x4 meter relay, Bluffton placed 10th out of 11 teams. The order goes Katora Warlick, Alyssa Hockey, Tori Bowen, and Bailey Barrington. And these four ladies ran a time of 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Well, the freshman continues to impress me. Sarah Heidinger had a heck of a day in the high jump, placing 4th. With a height of 4 feet, 10.26 inches. Tori Bowen took second in the women's pole vault with a height of 10 feet, 11.89 inches. Junior Sarah Oliver also placed in the women's pole vault, tied for 9th. Junior Maylin DeLong for Bluffton placed 8th in the women's shot put with a throw of 34 feet, 5.78 inches. Stephanie Fox, the freshman, placed 9th in the women's discus with a throw of 99 feet, 5.7 inches. Maylin DeLong also placed 7th in the women's hammer throw with a distance of 114 feet, 3.26 inches. And that wraps up track. So, man, the women had a heck of a day, too. They had a lot of top finishers. Tori Bowen taking 2nd in the pole vault. Along with the men, this women's team has had a great opening meet. They have a lot of starting points to start from and improve on. The next time this men and women's track and field team will participate will be this Saturday at Indiana Wesleyan University in Marion, Indiana. So that wraps up this section of track. We will be right back. Here is Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Hey. from inside.
I'm waking up.
You're listening to 96.1, The Wit.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
So we are back here with the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit. Trent, how is your first show going so far?
Better than I thought it was going to go.
I mean, that's good. I mean, the more you do this, the more...
easier it gets.
Yeah, the easier it gets, the more you do it. It's repetition. And with this week, I think this will be the last week... okay, I should say last week we do, like... a non-video. I know this weekend we're going to do another video. So if you want to jump in on that, by all means, you're welcome to. That would be another thing to add for your portfolio later on down your Bluffton career. Now, switching over things from track and field, we're going to hit the diamond. More importantly, the softball diamond. Trent, tell our viewers how this softball team went over spring break and then this past week from spring break to their first couple of games back in the great state of Ohio.
So over spring break, the softball team went down to Florida. They went 2-8 down there over spring break. So coming back from Florida, softball team has improved their record to 4-10 on the year, winning 2 games and dropping 2 games since.
Yeah, the softball team, they were kind of in a scare here. Their softball coach left earlier in the year, and they finally got their new head coach. And talking to some of my friends who were on the softball team, they were saying how it's going to be an adjustment from knowing one style of softball from their previous coach to adjusting to this new coach and seeing how her style of play is. And I mean, 2-8 start is not good, but it's not bad. I mean, it's a starting point. The week in Florida, as Reed would say, for baseball, and I'm assuming the same with softball, is really finding out how your roster is going to shape up once conference hits and towards the end of the season. Seeing where girls need to be, batting order, positions, etc. This start is not bad, and they improved a little bit after coming back. They won 2, then dropped 2, but they've been playing well. They had 2 doubleheaders over the weekend. They split the first doubleheader with Albion on Saturday. They lost the first game 5-4, and then they came back and won the second one, and a whopping 8-1. So they really figured things out in that second game on Saturday and helped out with the bats, scored 8 runs, tremendous day, and ended up winning.
They lost 5-4 in the first game, but I mean, it's not like they're getting blown out there. They're still competing there. And then coming back that second game in the doubleheader and winning 8-1, that's really kind of a huge turnaround.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, you only get a little... I played baseball in high school. We played a couple doubleheaders, so you only get a little bit of a break in between games. So going from losing by 1 to going out there and winning by 7 runs, it's like, it's a big deficit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and knowing... because most of the time in doubleheaders, most of the lineup does not change.
Yeah.
Most of it's just pitching, I would say catching, maybe. But one thing that really changes is the pitching, because you're not going to throw, if you threw 2 or 3 pitchers in the first game, you're not going to throw those 3
yeah.
the second. You use the rest of your bullpen. But what this doubleheader shows me is that it was a close game in the first one. They just couldn't get those 2 runs to win it. But the second one, it shows me that they made their adjustments. They knew what the Britons were going to do or where they were heading. So making those adjustments really helped on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they also split their doubleheader against Heidelberg. They won the first one 7-6, but then they lost the second game 13-10. So kind of roles reversed on Sunday as Heidelberg took their adjustments and came out winning the second one in a very high-scoring game, 13-10. You don't really see that a lot in the game of baseball or softball. The one player, Trent, that I want to talk about on softball is the senior, Josie McElroy. She, over the spring break games, the 10 games that they had in Florida, she broke the home run record for Bluffton. I think at like on the season this year, she has five. Yeah, she has five home runs. One, like you pointed out in the stats, was a three-run dinger on Saturday against Albion. So Josie is having a heck of a year. She's averaging about 440 at the plate. B-Huff, she's having a stellar batting average at 510. I guess I don't know where their struggles are. I guess it has to be
somewhere
fielding.
In the field,
yeah. Because they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 girls about 320 or higher averaging at the plate. And that's pretty good. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to me throughout the season on if they could turn, I would assume, the fielding errors around and pull out some more games, pull out some more wins in games.
Especially if they keep hitting the way they're hitting.
Yeah. The record is 4-10, as we mentioned. They're 1-1 at home, 1-1 away. The neutral site in Florida is kind of what killed them, 2-8. But the thing is, with the Florida trip, they see a lot of different teams that they're not accustomed to. So playing different teams that they're not accustomed to, and possibly better teams, doesn't help them. I mean, coming back, if I was on that softball team, I would be a little upset with the record. But playing as they are now back in Ohio, they're playing a lot better. So confidence has to be the key, and just mental mistakes have to be eliminated.
Yeah.
Before we jump into baseball, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. Here is Too High by Moon Taxi. You're listening to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
From Salzman to Sauter, we are 96.1 The Wit.
The softball team is back in action this Friday, March 23rd, as they play host to the Scots of Alma College in the doubleheader.
Hopefully, Trent, we can get some coverage out to that game. It does start at 3:30, and I am in class during that time. I'd like to try to do like some video coverage of that. I think that'd be fun. So I'll let you know about that, and we can head out there and get some coverage of this softball game.
Sounds good.
So before Trent and I discuss baseball, I got the chance to sit down with Reed Mouse, our very own Reed Mouse, yesterday because they're wrapping up their game against Albion College in Albion, Michigan. And this is what Reed and I discussed.
We're talking baseball.
Reed, it's probably different being in the interview chair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, got a lot less status than being in the host chair. I'm beneath you, finally. You're
yeah.
Just like running, yeah. Just right over here. So you got some questions. Let's fire it away.
Yeah. So I know last week on the show you talked about, what, the first week of baseball. So kind of recap that. How has the season started? I know you guys started 8-2. Probably what's the best record baseball started, right?
Yeah, it's the best 10-game start in Bluffton baseball history. We started off really hot, but it always seems like we start off hot going down to Florida. In my years here, like last year, we had a fantastic start. In the past 2 years, we started off 4-0, which are both tied for the best starts in school history, best undefeated start to the season. And then this year, we started off 8-2 down in Florida. Last year, we went 6-3, then came back and started off like all the way up to 9-4, and then we just fell off the face of the earth. Well, this year, we starting off 8-2, and then we go into this weekend that just passed, and we lay an egg and go 1-3, and now we're at 9-5 to start the season, and we're just hoping that we don't go the same way as last year.
So, what kind of from the 10-game week that you had in Florida, going 8-2, and going now 1-3 in your first week back in Ohio, what kind of like what's the difference maker? I guess.
Well, one difference maker, and it's not the sole difference maker to the whole experience, is just the weather. I mean, weather plays an incredibly big part of baseball, and it's not just like the conditions for the players, but the ball doesn't travel as well in the cold.
Yeah.
So we're down in Florida, we're hitting the ball all over the yard. We're averaging like 10 runs a game, and down in Florida we didn't pitch it that well, and we gave up a lot of runs. But I mean, when you score 10 runs a game, it's hard to lose, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we come up here and we play on Saturday against Wilmington, who historically isn't a very good baseball team, but to be fair, Bluffton hasn't been historically. Sorry, just got done eating. So historically, Wilmington hasn't been that good of a baseball team. But to be fair, Bluffton hasn't either. I mean,
right.
it has this long history of not doing so well, especially in the conference play. So it should have been a good matchup. We're starting off 8-2. We felt really good about ourselves. When we come here, it's 30 degrees, like 35 degrees, and windy, and absolutely nothing. We just can't hit the ball as hard. I remember on Saturday there was a few balls that even Wilmington hit. That, like, as a catcher, you get a good feeling of how hard a ball is hit right off the bat. And I'm catching, and there's just balls just being laced that are just not going anywhere. And we had that all day, and we were only able to score one run. And it wasn't just the weather conditions. It was also we were just giving away at bats. I mean, in a traditional baseball game, you get 27 outs to give them. So you got to make them earn every single out. And when you're just giving away at bats, you're really hurting and lessening your chances not only to score but to win. And that's something that we did horribly on Saturday. And then Sunday, weather conditions were a lot better. We hit the ball a lot better, but still we didn't have the same offensive firepower that we had all the way down in Florida. But it was nice to see us come back on Sunday. We won that first game after losing two bad losses to Wilmington and getting it. We couldn't get the sweep on the Adirondack Midnight School Goshen. But still, I mean, there was some fight. And the other thing I would say that you said, what's the difference between being down in Florida and starting off that 10-game series to now, is there was a lot more fight down in Florida. It seemed like, especially with the pitchers, like I said, we're giving up some runs. So it always seemed like we had to fight. We had to get more runs. And our hitters really, really took to that. And we were going well. I mean, we hit fantastically. Ryan Gold and then Colin Gregory were batting over 500. Going into this past week, and I know they're below it now after a low hitting, low offensive output from the weekend, even though they both still played very well. It's just as a collective, everyone did a little worse than we did. It's hard to keep that up 10 runs a game. But it always just seemed like we had a lot more fight in us. I remember I think it was Saturday, we were down 2 runs, 3-1, going into the last inning of play. And we just gave away 3 at-bats. Like, we didn't make them work for it. It was just 1-2-3, end of the game. And you hate to see that. You really do.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Ryan Golden and Colin Gregory had a heck of a week down in Florida, and they still are having a pretty decent year. What has been the key for those two and the rest of the baseball team who are hitting well? Like, let's see, Lenny Winiarski and Reed Rule?
Yeah,
Reed Rule. He's having a decent year as well. So what plays into those guys having great hitting seasons?
Well, like Jacob Lekofsky, I think he's a big one. And Lenny Winiarski, Reed Rule, these are three young guys in the lineup that have really been feeding off of what Colin and Ryan have been able to produce. There's been about 6 or 7 guys that have been in the lineup every day. Reed Rule, Colin Gregory, Ryan Golden, Lenny Winiarski's been, he hasn't played every single game, but he's been almost there. Jacob Lekofsky, I've been in that fold. And then Chase Lanozek started off, but he's currently injured. And then now we've been looking off to Alex Lemanski and Jackson Rogan. But the thing about baseball is hits come in bunches. It's the same way in every sport. When one dude's playing well, other players feed off that and really start to work off that. In basketball, when one dude's filling it up, you can guess that another dude's going to be wide open and start filling it up as well. They just kind of feed off energy. And that was what's going on in Florida. I mean, just having these two experienced guys, Colin Gregory has been a starter. This is his third year being a starter. Ryan Golden didn't get the start to last year, but when he did, he had a lot of opportunity. He came off firing. I mean, he was player of the week. He has two home runs already, a lot of extra base hits. And these two guys have really been able to give a jolt into the lineup, and they're reciprocating that. The lineup is reciprocating it back. Just keep giving them, keeping these pitchers on their toes. They keep making a lot of mistakes, and we've just been hitting very well. And what we're going to need to do to get back into this winning fashion is we're going to need to get back into that hitting. We need to start hitting for our teams. That's another thing is you kind of, when you're a lineup, you got to work with each other.
Right.
You can't hit for yourself. When you're going up there and you're only thinking about, hey, what can I do right now? I've been saying it all year long when every batter comes up, hey, we don't need a hero this at bat.
Yeah.
We just need to get the next guy up. Just keep the innings, long innings work in our favor.
So where are Golden and Gregory at spotted in the lineup? Because I know baseball is all about where your hitters are located.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of studies to say that for traditionally, your best hitter is always batted 3-hole. And then there's a lot of people that be going like, hey, we should have our best hitter batting leadoff, because we should get this guy as many at-bats as possible. We want him to jumpstart the lineup, all this stuff. And then what's really is all these sabermetrics that are going on in baseball right now, they've really alluded to that your best hitter should actually bat 2-hole. So what happened was is at the beginning of the year, we had Denny Zaley, Chase Lonezak batting 1 and 2, and then we went Golden and Gregory batting 3 and 4, which worked. But then we said, hey, these guys are hitting so well, we need to get them in the first inning. So that's exactly what we did. We started batting Colin 2-hole, and then Golden, since he has a little more, has more extra base hits, started batting him 3-hole. And I think that really helps Colin, because they know that Golden's behind him, and Golden's hitting a little, he's got a lot more pop, so they're a little more scared of a dude that can hit in the gap. And not that Colin can't, but they know Golden's on deck, so Colin's going to get pitches to hit.
Yeah.
And it's really helped out. So they're batting 2 and 3 right now.
All right, so talk about your game tomorrow. I know you guys travel up to Michigan. Is it Albany? Is
that Albion, Albion.
Albion. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Albion and how their style of baseball and
I mean,
to come out with the victory.
We played them every year since I've been here. The Albion Britons, they're another purple school. They go up there, and they actually just got a brand new baseball field. I remember when I was a freshman, we traveled all the way up there to Michigan. And they had this, like, horrible baseball field. It was like a high school field. And I remember we played them on St. Patrick's Day. And the reason I remember this is because we're, like, in the second inning. And all of a sudden we just see, like, this horde of guys coming down the field, coming from the field. And they're carrying couches, like, on their shoulders. And they sit these couches on down. And they just crack open beers, like, out in right field and just start drinking. And they're heckling all of us the entire game. I remember – I didn't even play. But, like, I went to, like, go catch. And they saw my number 8. And they're like – hey, Reed, how's Mariana? Like, they found out my girlfriend's name somehow and just started, like, heckling me about my girlfriend. And they started doing this to, like, our right fielder, they're talking about his mom and stuff.
Oh my
like,
gosh!
And it's funny. I mean, a lot of teams do this. They do their research, but they got a brand new baseball field. It's a stadium style. I guess they turned the field all the way around. They got some stadiums in down. I don't know how they got the money, but I'm really excited to play there. And like I said, we play them once every year, so you don't get a good feel. It's not like you're there a conference team,
right?
Where you get to see them three times a year and you really get a feel for how they play baseball. So I mean, I just remember every year that we played them, it's been hard fought. I think in the 3 years, we beat them two out of the 3 years that we played them. Every single game has gone down to the wire. And it's really exciting to play. I mean, they play their game up there, and baseball is pretty much played the exact same way. Some teams play small ball. Some teams steal a lot more. But for the most part, you got to throw it over the plate. You got to pick it, and you got to hit it.
Yep. So then you mentioned conference. This year is a little different, right? And we've mentioned this in the last couple of episodes. Are you excited about that? Like having two instead of three or whatever matchups between conference rivals?
So yeah, so you get 40 games in Division III, and we used to play a 27 game schedule in the conference. So you played the other nine teams three times. And the thing about that is it's a decisive victory between the teams. You figure out, hey, we beat this team two out of three, or hey, there's no ties. And that's one thing that does scare me now that we switched down to just playing strictly doubleheaders, so we only play two teams, play each team twice. So it's an 18-game schedule. One thing that is exciting about the change is we get to play a lot more teams outside of the conference, some teams that don't know much about us.
Right.
Get to travel to different places. So now we have 22 out-of-conference games instead of 13. And then the biggest change, I'd say more than anything, isn't just the 27 to 18 difference. It is actually the fact that there's not just going to be four teams in the conference tournament. Now there's going to be five. You see, the 4 and 5 seeds are going to play a playing game to play the number one seed.
So like a wild card type thing.
Yeah, like a wild card. That's exactly the premise. And it's going to be really exciting. I know that Bluffton has actually never made it to the conference tournament in baseball, but it was like 3 years in a row. My freshman year, we were a half game out. We actually got a game canceled against Earlham, who was at the bottom of the barrel that year, and we got them canceled, and we ended up missing it by a half game.
Oh.
And that's actually happened. Like, that was like the third straight year where Bluffton has been out of it by at least like a game or a game and a half or something like that.
Oh, that's awful. Well, Reed, thanks for coming in. Good luck tomorrow. Safe travels.
Appreciate it. I hope it's warm.
Yeah.
It's pretty cold. We had practice today, and the sun was out, which was very blissful. But, man, that wind, this northwestern high. I'm a Cincinnati boy, so we have a lot of hills, and we just don't get that wind, and it's just brutal. I was wearing my windbreaker today. Wasn't breaking much wind.
Oh, yeah, especially out where the baseball field is. There's a lot of extra wind out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Reed. Thanks, man.
Yep.
You're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
1 in 3 adults in America have prediabetes, but most don't know it. To let people know it can be reversed before it becomes type 2 diabetes, professional basketball player Julius Randle is doing everything in reverse.
I'm only dunking with reverse windmills. I drove the whole way to practice in reverse. I don't recommend it. This move's called the reverse shuffle. I do recommend it. And it took me months to learn how to speak in reverse, like this. Years 10 almost for diabetes type 2 with living Ben has mom my. In other words, my mom has been living with type 2 diabetes for almost 10 years. So together, we want to say to the 84 million Americans at risk, exercise and healthy eating can help reverse prediabetes. Start by taking a simple one-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bet he can't say that in reverse.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
96.1 The Wit.
Reed hit a lot of good points in the interview yesterday. I mean, Ryan Golden, Colin Gregory, Golden a senior, Gregory a junior this year, they've been hitting the ball really well. And Reed said the 8-2 record that they had, because before they went to Florida, they had like their first game. Reed kind of said it was like a scrimmage, but it was like a full. It was a regular
full seven
game.
Innings.
Yeah, full. It was a full game, but like they did a lot of rotations just to see where everybody fits. And so in Florida, they went 7-2, came back 8-2 from that previous victory, as I mentioned, and that was the best 10-game stretch margin that they've had in Bluffton history, is what he said. And most of that is to Ryan Golden, Colin Gregory. Golden, he said, was what, about 450 average? That dropped. He's about 449. Gregory is about four straight, 444 batting average. Golden's the only player, though, on this team who has two home runs. So that's a big thing, I think. But it's nothing to be concerned about. You don't want your lineup having a lot of home runs. As long as your lineup is hitting the ball, putting it in the play where they can get on base and score, that's the main thing, I would say.
Base hits win the ball game.
Oh yeah. You don't want a guy with power. And well, Reed actually said it best. Like, you don't want to go up there. He doesn't want people in the lineup going up to bat thinking, what can I do? Yeah. It's about what can
I do, what's best for the team.
Yeah, basically, is what he said. You don't want to be selfish at the plate. You want to make sure, like, what can I do to help the team, not hurt the team?
Yeah.
And by the looks of it, I mean, they've played well. Other than softball, who went 2-2, like you mentioned to me during the break, how they went 2-2 coming back from Florida, baseball kind of is on a little bit of a skid. They went 1-3. They're now what?
9-5.
9-5. They're 9-5. And, I mean, it's not a bad start. So over the weekend, baseball, they had two doubleheaders. On Saturday, they played Wilmington College, and Reed mentioned this earlier. They lost both. They lost 1-0 in the first game, and then 3-1 in the second. And then on Sunday, they played Goshen, the Goshen College Maple Leafs from Goshen, Indiana. Both teams split. The Beavers won the first game 4-2, but then lost the second 9-5. And as we sort of mentioned in the softball segment, like, doubleheaders really is about matchups. It's like baseball. Well, this is baseball. It's like basketball, soccer, football. Matchups is what's key, and having the second game and whoever makes the better matchups seems like wins the game.
Yeah.
And the main thing, though, that Reed mentioned was weather. Weather plays a key factor in all sports playing in outside. Like football, if it's cold, it's going to be harder to throw the ball. Soccer, same with kicking the ball, right?
Yeah, and if it's wet, I mean, you have that too.
Yeah.
Football, if it's wet, it's going to be harder to hold on to, catch. Mm-hmm. Soccer, I mean, the ball comes at you when it's wet. You go to kick, and it just skids off your foot, goes completely opposite way. I mean, like volleyball, basketball, weather doesn't play because you play inside. Track, I mean, you can have the wind blowing at you, and that can affect your time. I mean, not by great margins, but little by little, your time isn't going to be as good as it would be. I mean,
yeah, like rain, wind is a key factor in track, and along with the other outdoor sports as well. And like he mentioned, they were hitting the ball crazy good in Florida. Yeah. I mean, they averaged what, probably about 75 to 80 degree weather throughout the week playing ball.
Probably.
And their first game back in Ohio, it snowed.
Yeah.
It snowed on the football field on that day, on Saturday.
Just talking to Reed, he said there were people out there shoveling snow off the field before their games.
Because their game got pushed back 2 hours because of the snow.
Yeah.
And then Sunday when they played Goshen, it was like a completely different turnaround. It was about 55 degrees, nice. I mean, that's a nice late winter, early spring day. And they played well. I mean, they won the first one 4-2. They lost 9-5. So they scored runs. But as we're talking about the weather, that first game on Saturday, they didn't score anything in the first one. They lost 1-0, and then they only scored one run in the second game of the doubleheader, losing 3-1. So Ohio weather, it's I guess it's tough to play baseball in it. And
especially in March.
Oh yeah, especially in March. Mid-March, you don't know what's going on.
Even early April sometimes,
yeah,
it can snow.
Yeah.
First couple weeks of
April. I mean, today is the first day of spring officially. So hopefully that's some good news for not only baseball but softball as well for hitting the ball. And hopefully, like,
as the weather warms up,
yeah,
hopefully their batting gets better.
Yeah. That's the main thing is especially with the guys on the team who are below 300. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Like,
no.
You're still hitting the ball. You're still putting the ball in play and making plays. And really they're not playing bad. I mean, you're going to have those close contests. You're not going to win all the games.
Yeah, you can't have no one's ever going to have a perfect game.
Yeah.
People can have perfect games, but I mean, it's a rarity, so you just got to play to your. If it's bad outside, you know the ball's not going to go as far, so maybe you don't try and hit that deep gap, or you just try and hit that little floater into the outfield just to advance your guys.
Yeah, you know? Just finding the spots and helping the team advance around the bases and score, it should be the main thing. And I know Coach Grandy, his big thing is it's a team effort.
Yeah.
Having team bondings and making sure everybody, like, knows everything about each other helps also. Because if there's tension on the team, results are going to be bad.
Yeah.
That does it for baseball. I don't have anything else. But before we go to close it out, here is Celebrate by Dirty Heads featuring the Unlikely Candidates. You're listening to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it. 20,000 fans front the stage I'm standing on. I want you to know I appreciate it. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate. Mom, I gotta go, the curtain's calling. All the way from Rome, I'm really sorry. Tell my little sister, I said hey. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate. Yeah, these late nights and these long drives. Full moons under dark skies. Tears fall behind phone screens. Lonely hearts lead to bad dreams. Wish that I could be there for you. I hope the life will be fair for you. It's hard to sleep cause I'm always thinking and passing out off of codeine. And I hope you know that I'm not complaining. Hope you know I appreciate it. Every day's just filled with love, man. Every day is just thanks and praises. But memories of your birthdays, they give me in the worst ways. And you say that it's so okay, when you get home, we can celebrate. Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it. 20,000 fans front the stage I'm standing on. I want you to know I appreciate it. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate. Mom, I gotta go, the curtain's calling. All the way from Rome, I'm really sorry. Tell my little sister, I said hey. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate.
Not the money, not the fame. Love the struggle, love the pain. After all that we have gained, we realize we're all the same. Sacrifice, my brothers cried. We've been gone when family died. Losing my focus, symphony's open. Singing my opus, just for a moment. One day I'll get home, we can throw a big party. Invite all the people that helped us get started. To all of you artists that feel like a martyr. Don't ever give up, you just gotta go harder.
Mom, if you can hear me, there's a fence from the stage I'm standing on. I want you to know I appreciate it. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate. Mom, I gotta go, the curtain's calling. All the way from Rome, I'm really sorry. Tell my little sister, I say hey. One day I'll come home, we can celebrate.
My soul for a
celebrate.
Broadcasting from Bluffton University, we are 96.1 The Wit.
And we are back here with the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit. Trent, we're closing out your first episode on the Beaver Dam. How did it go?
I don't know. I think it went well.
You did great. Like we said earlier when we were talking about it, repetition. Well, the more you're in here doing this, the better you're going to get. And when I first hosted the Beaver Dam in the fall, holy crap, was I struggling. This is cakewalk now. So you did a great job, buddy. And with Reed doing baseball now, playing, I would assume he would be more on here more as a guest talking about baseball. So I feel like this is going to be our show now.
All right.
Hopefully we can get in this weekend and record the Beaver Dam video. Have our video guy, Colton Steiner, back in helping us out with that. And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit, 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beaver.